Good morning. Today is Wednesday, and what a Wednesday it's shaping up to be. Joining us this morning, Mr. Mattioli. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Ryan.
Are we having fun?
Absolutely, yeah.
Good. Well, let's see if we can dampen that down just a tad for you with our question of the morning.
Uh-oh.
Well, good. At least there's proper reverence for it.
Yes. Are we graded on the curve, by the way?
Yeah, partial credit is possible.
Okay.
Let's see. Why are some Londoners called Cockneys?
Why are some what?
Londoners. Anglophile.
Cockneys.
English. Cockneys. We've all heard of Cockney English.
Because they raise chickens.
The word Cockney comes from two Middle English words meaning cock's egg. It means small and misshapen, yolkless hen eggs that were once believed to be laid by roosters. At various times, the term has been used to describe spoiled children, sissies, city slicker, and especially city slickers. Since the 17th century, London was a major city, and the term was applied specifically to Londoners, who by this time had the words pronounced Cockney. Its meaning has since been narrowed further so that today it applies chiefly to Londoners from the east side of London.
Give me partial credit.
Yeah.
That's pretty
good. You were there.
With the chicken side.
There was a little poultry involved.
Yes, there was.
Oh, so how's summer been treating you?
It's been a great summer. Yeah. Many, many ways. Yeah.
Thank you. Are sales continuing at the pace in real estate? And by the way, Benchmark Realty, Mark Mattioli. Okay.
Yes. Do I have to say that myself? Yes. Yeah, I think they're very brisk. We are surprised by it. It continues to be a remarkable thing. You can see I brought you some charts, Ryan, and this one will tell the story.
The craziness has continued, though.
Yeah, the craziness continues.
Well, only if you have the graphs upside up.
The graphs right side up, that helps, too. But they really show remarkable stuff. But it is starting an appearance of slowing down. And that is that, I mean, we went down to having a category of 110 to 115 houses on the market in the whole county. It's up to 200. Now, the normal is 350 to 450. So that's still
kind of scant.
Still skinny, yeah.
More people seeing the opportunity to sell their houses now? Is it more days on market?
The more people have the opportunity to sell their house, but then where are they going to go? Because prices are not just up in our little area, they're up all around. And so then what are you going to do? But there is we know that when we had the Paradise Fire, we had people coming over here. Well, we're hearing from people who, are smoked out in Reading and other areas. And so I don't know. It's just, where are they all coming from? Why is there such a demand for us? We are isolated. I think there are structural changes in the economy. With the zooming?
Yeah, you got that. And then now with the Humboldt State and the stuff that's going on, happening.
That's
another exciting level of demand that hasn't hit yet.
Yeah. As I said, I brought along this Humboldt State prospectus on their new Polytechnic University, and I think it's really going to have an impact on housing. If we're just talking housing, it's going to have an impact on housing because they're going to be hiring more professors. There's going to be many more students who are going to be in need of housing. I mean, they're going to be, they say they're going to be building 800 beds, and spending $100 million by 2024. Well, that construction is going to start, you know, in a year and a half, 2 years. There are workers. There are other kinds of
people. Oh, their vendors, all their suppliers, and it does ripple. That was one thing.
Yeah, if you spend $100, there's a 2.5 time
multiplier.
Thank you. That has an effect. So really, some amazing things are headed.
You know, it's funny. You hear that stuff, and for me, it's a lot of it's still theoretical, blah blah blah. And then I talked to John Kovacovich. Oh, it's probably 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, when the timber industry went down, it wasn't just the timber industry and the guys in the mills, and it was the truckers. It was the guys that were the mechanics on the trucks. The guys that were selling for Johnny, you know, the tires on the trucks. And then it was the spouses that are going into the stores and the educators that were teaching the kids. And it just, you can see it, a pyramid. Now we're seeing it the other way, where it's a funnel and we're at the bottom of this thing. And we're going to be seeing that upwelling that is kind of interesting.
I think Ivakovich had it right. I was working on economic development, and when we lost 2,000 jobs, I mean, it wasn't a bad thing. We had a Redwood National Park expansion, but 2,000 jobs in our little economy was remarkable, and it had the effect you're talking about. It was the candlestick makers and the butcher and the baker who had effect. Less business, layoffs, it affected many people. So this is the same way. When it's growing, and this is a good and unusual thing, it's growing. Here we go. Opportunities will come.
Now, it's interesting how terms get used. If someone says, a developer, oh, you're a developer. And, you know, and you think of somebody like these guys in the Valley. You know, they're bringing in a couple hundred homes at one shot, and here it comes, and yeah, make those guys pay, blah, blah, blah. Okay. I've had recent interactions with the planning department. And because the property doesn't have a structure on it, I am now classified, or we, Angie and I, as a developer. It's like, wait a minute.
Whoa,
no,
really?
No, no. I don't own a tractor. I don't have a crane. I don't have,
That's
no.
That's not the mantle you want. Yeah.
And, but the definition is one way. It's kind of like corporation for some folks. Yeah, okay, we're incorporated. We got, you know, two of us that own it and 10 folks working out here. We're a corporation. So that all this anti-corporation stuff is geared at something different, and there's a presumption that everybody has this distinction in the definitions. With the housing, are you hearing any developments that are starting to percolate that are being really seriously contemplated, or what you're hearing are starting to go through the process? Oh, you're better than you look. KINS News and Information.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are Easy Radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information. Times 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Mr. Mattioli about real estate in the area. Mark, before the break, I had asked the question about pending developments, and let me amend that, of significant size. You know, more than the onesie twosie. Mm-hmm. You know, but something that has multiple housing units on it. Are you seeing, or is the county receiving those types of inquiries now, and are you starting to, in anticipation of this?
But I don't work for the county.
No, but you kind of know the people who do.
I'm going to show you that one thing that we, on this, I have before us here, these prospectus, which is available to anybody who wants to get a copy of it. I think it's very worthy to learn about. The prospectus from Humboldt State regarding their Polytechnic University. So it's California Polytechnic University, Humboldt.
Cal Poly Humboldt.
Yeah, Cal Poly Humboldt would be what I think they're going
to call it. That's a better shot than California State University Humboldt.
Yeah, it's got
that one never got traction.
I like the way it reads off. Yeah. Better for radio, too. Comes off quicker.
Cal Poly Humboldt. Yeah. Thank you.
But in this document, which is a fantastic document and can be downloaded, I downloaded it off of, here's an advertisement, for Lost Coast Outpost. They have it on there, and I downloaded it there, though I'm sure if you went to the Humboldt State, you could get it there and download it, too. So anyway, well, one of the things that they're talking about, they need housing for, if this thing's going to grow, and it looks like they are very strongly pushing toward it, then they're going to need housing. And one of the things they show here is a thing they call the Craftsman's Mall. I think this is across the highway from the university. The university acquired this property, owns the property, and it was going to be some other developer's property, and they ended up getting it. and they talk about 800 beds. So that would be a cumulative amount of beds at Humboldt State of 2,800. This is an estimated completion of 2024. And as we said, I mean, that's a significant amount. But what you will need if you're going to have housing and for students is multifamily housing. Students do not start out with the typical three-bedroom, two-bath house with 1,700 square feet.
Unless there's 12 kids in there.
And a two-car garage. It doesn't happen. They go for multifamily, and I think there will be those will be searching for multifamily housing land.
Is there a lot of triplexes? I don't know, what do you call a four-person?
There is a lot of this, but it is not significant. One of the complaints in here in this perspective is that students are asked to put a large deposit, and they hear from students that landlords tend to
take advantage.
No, they don't. They like to wean out students. They prefer to have the working guy or the working family rather than students.
Okay.
So they find they run into that too. I mean, there's a lot of things that occur.
Oh, is that legal?
So, of course not.
Okay.
But it happens, and students have complained in the polls they take. They want to have their own control of their own housing so they can offer it.
I understand they're also renovating a lot of the dorms on campus.
They're going to renovate dorms, and in the year 2026, they're going to tear down some campus apartments, 200 of them, and continue to look for more. They want science housing in the year 2025. When you think the word 2025 looks really big when you think back. For us who are older, that's really in the future, but it's just around the corner,
yeah.
And you better start planning because it takes that long to really get to open with a key. And so a lot of things going on with the university, but I think there's anybody with any intelligence will see that there will be demand, and I think we will see those kind of developers showing up at our offices asking if we could help them find a vacant parcel to do some development on. I think this kind of thing is going to have that effect. The other thing that I see here is the university, you don't just have students, you have to have faculty, and the faculty that they're going to hire is going to be a serious number. I have some numbers in their perspectives on page 132 for you who are looking, following
along. For those who want to print a ream of paper, yeah.
Yes, that they will need 30 new faculty and new programs. 30 faculty in supporting and GE programs, what is general education programs, 20 new lecturer faculty in new and supporting programs, 10 new lab technicians, 10 new academic administration support, 6 new professional advisors, 2 new associate deans, 3 new, you get the picture? They're talking
120?
$20 million in new
Salaries,
yes, for these people. And when they talk salaries, it's interesting, too, if I can find that page. When they talk salaries, they talk about paying, let me see if I have it back here, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year plus benefits. A salary person of this level makes a category of about $140,000 a year. Well, and that's a serious amount of money to spread around the community. So, yes, I think there's going to be an impact if it happens. I do think it has a really good chance. When you read this document, you see that it makes the most sense for this university to do this and where it is located. And it also has the tools already in existence for a Cal Poly. It's very close to being like a Cal Poly. We have the highest rate of STEM graduates, science, technology,
engineering math.
And math. Yes, sir. That's my answer.
You put me, make it STEAM.
Yeah,
I think artists also. We seem to have a ton.
Yeah, I think you've got it.
Well, and there's, what, $454 million in the budget, this year's budget
for
this?
Plus 25 extra million a year to fund this. That's why when you look at this $20 million here in new salaries,
that's where it's coming from.
The state's going to give it to them.
Yeah.
Plus the students who bring in money.
So we'll talk about how do we house these people.
Stand by playback.
And now,
live. Real Red Meat Radio.
Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with the Mark Mattioli. Maybe that's what you ought to put on your business card.
Maybe
huh?
I should.
The Mark Mattioli,
a legend. Huh?
Yeah.
At least in my own mind.
So we've got this tidal wave of demand, kind of starting to gather at the shore right now to hit us. Are we able to keep up with today's demand?
Well, you and I at the break were talking about the population of Humboldt State University. This goal of for being 2023 is, they talk about it increasing by 50%. The fact is, about 4 years ago, it was that big. The university was almost 8,500 that time. But it dropped dramatically, and unfortunately it went down to 6,000. They're going to bring it back up. That's 2,500 students. But we were there before. So the question was, you brought it up wisely. If we had housing then for students, why don't we have that same housing today? I think we're seeing a demand for Arcata and our smaller communities. Why? I think we're seeing an escape from bigger cities when you can. I think the COVID had something to do with that.
So you sense even though the census doesn't reflect it, that we've seen a population growth.
Don't be throwing facts at me.
Yeah.
The census doesn't reflect it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, because the formal one is every 10 years, and yeah. Okay, fine. And we've started to see this in the last little bit. That would make sense. If we saw 1-2% growth in a market that has seen a 1-2% growth.
No, I'm saying that there's.
Historically. Now we got them, and now we got kids on top of that, and then the support staff on top of that. Now we're looking at maybe a 4-5% growth.
Well, that housing that students used to occupy is now being occupied by others. There was a lot of students were not around. They were working from home and that sort of thing. So I think there was those openings. Those people have come and taken those kind of houses. I think that's happened.
I suspect the only place that would be immune from that are the dorms, the on-campus housing.
No, yeah, right.
Okay,
and that's why the university thinks if they're going to develop housing, they're going to have to do a lot of their own. They're going to have to pull that
protect it for the kids, so to speak. Yeah.
But when you talk about the real estate market.
Yeah, in the general community.
In the last, we're up to July, say, on this graph I'm showing you here. It's dramatic how much it continues to increase. And we've not seen such a growth like this. And then people say, well, you did that before in 2004, 5, 6, and you had a giant bubble. Was that the year? Something like that. There it is right there. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah.
No, I'm looking at a different one.
You're upside down. But this is the year right in here, 2006, and that was a bubble. But that bubble was created by a distortion in the interest rate structure. People were told they could buy a house and get a loan based on their stated income. Yeah, I make about $80,000 a year, whatever. And then they were buying houses on a variable rate, so they would say the rate currently really is 7. But they could get a 4.5 if they went with the very rate, which changes in 3 years. Suddenly, 3 years came by, and those three-year increases came, and they couldn't afford the house anymore. We had a dynamic amount of foreclosures, which really affected the market. What's happening here is, I think, a structural change in our economy. In the state of California and other states, too, I think this the interesting thing—
At this point, not associated with the three economic projects we talked about earlier.
No, I think not.
Independent of that.
Yeah, this is independent of that. Yep, good point. And that is that I drew a blank. So we're
Leaving the major urban areas.
Yes, leaving the major urban areas. But the COVID thing, yeah, that was what I'm saying. The COVID thing had the effect of parents being forced to have their children be at home and learning at home using online method. Having the screen there and then talking to the professor and all that. And people were watching that. people were learning that would not have done it before, and it was universal. Most parents had to do that who had children. So there's that going on. And even the boss of the company, he noticed that his grandchildren were doing this. I'm just making these sort of anecdotes up. But so soon it was noticed that production stayed pretty good and they weren't coming to the office. So now Joe Lunchbucket says, and this is not Joe Lunchbucket, but this is Joe Whitecollar says, I could actually move to Eureka Arcata. We really wanted to do that, but we've been stuck here in the Bay Area in order to keep our job. So let's do that, and we'll come back to the Bay Area in the periodic times that we need to. I think that's opened a door, and there has been, I wouldn't say an abandonment of city, but an interesting change enough. You don't need,
well, there's an option
you don't need
now.
10, 20%, and it really changes your market. That's what we saw before.
Well, and for us, what's 10%? Yeah, it wouldn't even be a blip in Sacramento or Santa Rosa or San Francisco. For us, it's
come,
oh my, and it's, you know, 25 people a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody.
Well, it appears when we're talking about professors and other things, I saw category 150, 200 new staff people at Humboldt State. That's a lot. That's pretty big.
As a percentage of our population.
Yeah, of the percentage of ours. And when we sell a category 1,400 houses a year, normal, it's 11, 1150, 12, and now we're selling 1,500 a year. There's a marginal difference that I think is moving this market.
So
up.
Is there a, in addition, you've also got the turnover, either upsizing or downsizing, mm-hmm. based on whatever mm-hmm. your family's situation is also.
Some years ago, I read a statistic that said that in our community, and it's probably true in others, we have something like 500 a year family size changes, marriage, even divorces. And then we have births and that sort of thing. But on the other side, we have deaths.
Yeah.
And deaths cause a change. Those are the natural things that happen. But on top of that is all this other job moving, new students, university deciding to expand by 50%, little things like that. Plus the new wind power project.
We'll see what the windmills do.
Wow,
I think I'm
amazing things on the
table.
I'm
more excited about the fish plant.
Yes,
because I see that is a sustainable thing.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
And
too,
nobody's going to protest it and all that kind of.
We're
but the windmills,
like developers, Brian. You and I.
Oh, there's that word again. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
Hey, folks! Flying local is buying local, and with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly an American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Mark Mattioli. Mark, one of the things that we've experienced at the same time as we're seeing and sensing the residential property values going up and demands going up is retail space sitting there with spiders,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
cardboard or wax paper falling down in the windows,
mm-hmm. yeah.
which I don't know where that came from as an idea, but okay. We're a lot of space mm-hmm. that is underutilized in that niche. Are you hearing any whispers about conversions to that? A lot of areas do that on a pretty regular basis, but we haven't seen an awful lot of that here.
Yeah.
Is there any inertia in that direction?
Well, I think we go to the root of it, people can buy online, and they're noticing that they can, and they notice they get a product right away. It doesn't work for every product. I mean, it's hard to get a hot meal and sit down at a restaurant online. And of course, that is being affected seriously by the COVID issue. But other brick-and-mortar kind of stores have been, for quite a long time, under attack by the big online Amazon's and other Wayfair, et cetera, so the demand for those places has diminished greatly. And so would there be conversions into, let's say, tear them down and make multifamily residential units on it? I think it's quite possible. There was that property down there on 4th that used to have a car lot on it. You may remember this.
Oh, the backside of Arrett?
No, we're talking about the other end of 4th, about A, B, right in there. There's a little used car lot in there. It was owned by a Schneider.
Danco
came in and bought it up, and he put a veterans low-income housing. Beautiful property there. You go inside, it's got a great
looks like an atrium
patio area. It's an atrium in there. It's lovely. Yeah. And they are booked and solid, and there's a waiting list for those units. They're well-built. So there was an empty operation there. Danco's got his finger in this and knows how to there are government grants available for low-income housing, so they do that. That's not the only project he's done. We talked about the one on Samoa. It's a very seemingly very big project. I would say it looks like 150 or it could be 200 units. Opportunities are there for that. Arcata is just under construction on another multifamily unit that I think has some mixed use in it. I think people have noticed this, and you're seeing residentials. And not commercial. That one in Arcata, I think it used to be where Saki's.
Right.
Saki's sales. Yeah, yeah. Your fingers, I think you've got a good point there that there could be conversions of formerly commercial buildings that are not in demand because of these changes in how the economy works and into residential. Also,
it would be weird to see prime commercial property being converted. I mean, look at the waterfront.
Oh, yeah, don't do that to my waterfront.
Yeah, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. And yet, it just then sits and pushes weeds.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I suppose I have to say dandelions
now.
I'm
hoping that some of that will start to give attention and things will happen.
Well, the one thing that I see, the line Lou Quimby has, two truths can coexist simultaneously. Okay. So as the housing prices go up and it's tough to get housing, now because the housing prices are up, some of these projects that may not have penciled out before now pencil out.
Well put. I think you're right. I think that's something that should happen here. And we haven't had a lot of construction in Humboldt County. It's been
Well, look at the trades. Well, the trades guys are out of the area now.
We've had goals of 200 houses to be built a year or even that. I think the state has told the County of Humboldt to get going. And what do we get? 60 to 100 maybe, so... So the state wants to see that. The state wants to see housing developed within communities, too. They want to see a little more intense nature
of infill stuff.
Mm-hmm, infills.
Whatever happened
exactly
to,
the word, yeah.
Whatever happened to the artist workspace, live workspace? The second floor is old town, downtown. Boy, that was going to be the panacea, and we'd have people living there 24 hours a day, and that would help to reduce the crime and some of the...
That was early on when prices were extremely low and you could afford not to collect very much rent. That's what the idea of the IRS was. And so I think we've improved since then. But now we certainly have challenges on empty buildings and empty spaces. And this kind of activity that we're seeing with really four or five really big projects, Humboldt State, the aquaculture project, that wind farm idea, the idea is wind farms off the coast. These are all job-producing kind of ideas if they go all the way. And then the new line from Indonesia.
Yeah, the fiber optic.
Fiber optics are amazing. They already built a building to be working on that in our case.
Sounds like you're going to be busy for a couple of years.
I think we are.
All righty. Hopefully we all will be. Thanks for coming by. Nice to see you, bud.
Thank you, sir, yes.
See everybody tomorrow.